Well, we come now to our sermon text, and our sermon text is again from Luke chapter 24. If you were here this morning, we'll be picking up after that scene, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And I suppose if these things are important to you, I should tell you that I changed my title after the bulletins were printed. Let's see if I can remember it. I think I changed it to Studying the Scriptures and Sitting at Table with the Resurrected Lord Jesus. That sounds right, but I should have written it down. But Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, and remember that this is the word of our God. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we come to the preaching of his word. Let's pray together. Lord, please help us now as we come to your word to know you, to believe, to not be slow to understand, but to understand quickly because you help us by your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see that we may behold wonderful things out of your word. For we pray in your name, our Lord Jesus. Amen. How do you know that Jesus has been resurrected? And how do you know the resurrected Lord Jesus? Those are two questions that come into focus and emerge from this passage of Scripture that we just read. Because here, the resurrected Lord Jesus will reveal himself. He will make himself known to two of his disciples who did not recognize him when he first drew near to them. Remember if you were here this morning, that still when we come to this passage, to this point in the story about Jesus and his resurrection from the dead, remember that most of Jesus' disciples at this point did not believe that he had been raised. And what we see from this exchange on the road to Emmaus is that the disciples, they not only misunderstand and don't believe in the Old Testament, they don't even see the resurrected Lord Jesus when he is before their very eyes. They don't see him and believe until he makes himself known to them. And that will be very instructive and hopefully, even oddly enough, encouraging to us, very encouraging to us, as we walk with Jesus by faith and not by sight. My point tonight, the point of the sermon, is that Jesus makes himself known to you in all the scriptures and at table. Jesus makes himself known to you in all the scriptures and at table. And what I want for you is to know the resurrected Lord Jesus as he makes himself known to you tonight in the scriptures and at table. I want you to come away from worship tonight certain that Jesus is alive and that you know him because he makes himself known to you in this way. And so we'll work through this story in two basic parts. First, we'll look at the disciples' misunderstanding about Jesus. And then second, we'll consider how Jesus makes himself known. But we begin, the story begins, on the road to a village called Emmaus with two of his disciples talking about all that has happened in the past few days. We read in verses 13 and 14 that very day two of them were going to a village named Emmaus about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And we know that a lot has happened. A lot has happened to Jesus, and a lot's happened to them in a very short period of time. Their whole world has been turned upside down. And while they're talking, Jesus himself draws near, we're told in verse 15. And as we think about the disciples' misunderstanding about Jesus, maybe the most basic and obvious misunderstanding that we need to make note of is that the disciples don't even recognize him. They don't see him. They don't know who he is. And I find that oddly very encouraging because it's a reminder to us who have not seen Jesus with our eyes that the resurrected Lord Jesus is known by faith and not by sight. That's encouraging to me at least, because if you're like me, when you read the Gospels, especially the resurrection accounts, this comes out. But when you see the disciples quite literally beholding the Lord Jesus, walking with him, talking with him, eating with him, it's easy to think, if only I could have seen Jesus. If only I could have been there. My faith would be so strong. But really, here we see that simply being there, simply seeing the resurrected Lord Jesus with our eyes would not be enough. The resurrected Lord Jesus is known by faith, not by sight. He's known when he makes himself known. And as Jesus says in John's Gospel, after Thomas says that he will not believe unless he sees and touches the wounds of the resurrected Lord, Jesus says to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." The resurrected Lord Jesus is before the very eyes of these two disciples. We're told in verse 16, though, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. we see that if they're to see Jesus, he has to make himself known to them. And that's what Jesus intends to do. He asks them in verse 17, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And he asks them, not because he doesn't know, but because he does. And in order to teach them and eventually make himself known to them. But we're told in verse 18 that one of them named Cleopas answered, said, a little hesitatingly, a little surprised, maybe even a little put off, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? After Jesus asks him what things, he'll describe what happened to Jesus in a way that shows that he really was the one who did not understand what had happened there in those days. He'll say in verses 21 and 22, concerning of Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and scribes delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Notice that they say that Jesus is a prophet. And they're not wrong. Jesus is a prophet. But he's a prophet, priest, and king because he is the Messiah also. And from what Cleopas says here to Jesus, it's clear that to them, in their minds, because Jesus was crucified and died, he could not be the Messiah. Maybe a prophet, but not the Messiah. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They fail to understand that the suffering and death of the Messiah is how he is going to redeem Israel, and not just Israel, but the whole world too. And from this statement, from their sadness noted in verse 17, and from how Jesus will respond to them, we also see that they don't believe that he has been raised from the dead. After noting that it's the third day since all these things happened, maybe a reference to the fact that Jesus said he would be raised on the third day, maybe a nod to the possibility of it. Cleopas says in verses 22 and 23, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And he'll continue in verse 24. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And I think from this we gather that these two disciples don't really know what to make of all of it, but it's pretty clear that they don't yet believe that Jesus has been raised, even though he's standing before their very eyes. And what we see from this opening exchange is that if these disciples are going to see him, Jesus is going to have to make himself known to them. And that's what we see in our second part, both as this scene on the road to Emmaus continues, and once they reach Emmaus, that Jesus will make himself known to them. And what I want us to consider for our second part is how Jesus makes himself known. And it's interesting what Jesus says in response to this. Similar to what the angels say at the tomb in the morning. But Jesus doesn't ask them, why didn't you believe the testimony of the women? Or he doesn't ask them why they didn't go to the tomb for themselves and consider the evidence. Instead, he takes them to the Old Testament scriptures. The angel at the tomb took them to the words of Jesus, but Jesus takes them to the Old Testament and he says, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? To put it simply, Jesus says to them, you are misunderstanding what is happening because you misunderstand the scriptures. And so then we read in verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus makes himself known to them in all the scriptures. The Puritan Matthew Henry puts it this way, a golden thread of gospel grace runs through the whole web of the Old Testament. I love that. There is gospel grace throughout the Old Testament that if the golden thread is followed, will lead you to Jesus every time. Jesus makes himself known to his disciples in the scriptures, in all of the scriptures. But we can get more specific than that. We can say that he makes himself known both in his suffering and in his glory in all the scriptures. The Old Testament is what should have taught these disciples that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer, that suffering was the path to glory for the Messiah and for his people, that the golden thread of gospel grace leads to suffering before glory, that it leads to glory through suffering. They misunderstood that, and because they misunderstood that, they misunderstood everything that happened to Jesus. And so, the resurrected Jesus comes to them, and he teaches them about himself and his suffering and his glory from all the scriptures. And yet still their eyes aren't opened. They don't see him. Something in Jesus' teaching certainly moved them. We see that in verses 28 and 29, that when they drew near to Emmaus and Jesus seemed like he was going to go on further, they urge him to stay with them. They don't want the conversation to end. They don't want him to go away. After he makes himself known, one of them even remarks, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture?" Still, they don't know that this man is Jesus until he makes himself known to them at table. After agreeing to stay with them, we read this in verses 30 and 31. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished sight. Jesus makes himself known to his disciples at table, specifically when he takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. Does that sound familiar? I'll give you a hint. It's right here before you. It's an echo of the institution of the Lord's Supper and other scenes where Jesus feeds his disciples. And to be clear, this isn't a celebration of the Lord's Supper. It's an ordinary meal, it seems, that echoes the Lord's Supper. But that's precisely because the Lord's Supper is itself a picture of that larger picture of Jesus feeding his disciples. Events like the feeding of the 5,000 and the Last Supper and the institution of the Lord's Supper, they remind us that Jesus feeds us to satisfy our hungry souls with the true bread of life. Himself. They remind us that one day we will sit at table with Jesus in glory and be fed and be satisfied. And here, this echo of the Lord's Supper, it reminds us that in order to feed us with himself, the bread of life, the bread had to be blessed and broken and given to us. And while it's not a celebration of the Lord's Supper, by the deliberate echo of it, the disciples are reminded of it. How could they not be? And they see that Jesus makes himself known to them at table. Here, even after explaining the scriptures to them, it's only when he sits at table with them and takes bread, blesses it, breaks it and gives it to them, that the eyes of these disciples are opened and they see him. And then Jesus vanishes. Just like that, he's gone. And Jesus likely vanishes because in this age, even after his resurrection, he is to be known not by sight, but by faith. through his word and at table. And after Jesus makes himself known to them, after these disciples have their eyes opened and they see, we're told that they went back to Jerusalem at that very hour to tell the others. We find out in verse 34 that apparently Jesus has been very busy that day. They now believe too, these other disciples, since Jesus appeared to Peter, to Simon, we're told. And then in verse 35, these disciples also tell them what happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. It seems like the disciples finally believe that Jesus is alive. And it's because Jesus is the one who makes himself known to his doubting disciples. And here, on the road to Emmaus and at table with them, we see that he makes himself known to them by his word and at table. And what was true for them is true for you. The resurrected Lord Jesus makes himself known to you by his word in all the scriptures and at table. That's how you know that Jesus has been resurrected. And that's how you know the resurrected Lord Jesus. In all the scriptures and at table, you see him and his suffering. You see him as the suffering servant and sacrifice who bore your sins and the punishment that they deserve on the cross. You see that by his suffering, he willingly takes away your sins and turns God's wrath away from you by dying the death that your sins deserve under divine wrath. You see his broken body and his shed blood for you. But you also see him and know him in his glory as the one who's been raised from the dead, never to die again, as the one who walks with you and talks with you by his word. You see him as the teacher of his disciples, the one who makes himself known in the scriptures, especially now as he has ascended, received the Holy Spirit, and poured out the Spirit upon you, his church, in order to lead his disciples into all truth. And he does that by his word. And you see him as the host of and servant at that great banquet that is to come, as he now, by his word and through his ministers, takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to you. And so as we close, I leave you with one simple application: to come and know the Lord Jesus as he makes himself known to you. Come to him by faith for the first time, or once again, and again and again and again, as you live the Christian life of faith and repentance. Come to him as he makes himself known to you as the resurrected Lord and your Savior, in his word, and come to his table and receive him as he gives himself to you. If you can't come to the table tonight because you have not yet believed or professed your faith or for any other reason, come to Jesus now as he makes himself known to you in his word so that you may come to the table. For all of you who can, I urge you to come to Jesus where he makes himself known to you, when he makes himself known to you at the table. And come and stay a while. Come and stay with Jesus. Beg him to stay with you like these two disciples did, and know him more and more as he makes himself known to you in his word and at his table tonight. Remember what he said. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we worship you tonight, as we hear your word, we thank you that you make yourself known to us in your word. And pray that you will give us eyes to behold you, both in your suffering, that we will see more clearly what you did for us, but also that we will behold you in your glory. We will see you now raised from the dead for us and for our salvation, and that we will receive from you. Let our souls be hungry tonight as we come to your table, and let our souls be hungry for your word and for you in the week ahead. And we do pray that you will stay with us and teach us and walk with us, Lord, as we seek to walk with you. For we pray for all of this in your great name. Amen.